We come before you and we thank you for this time that you have given us, Lord, to have this fellowship with one another, with you and in your word. God, as we continue through the book of Revelation, Lord, I pray with this knowledge, these things that we are learning, that we've been studying, Lord, that you would cause it to sink down deep in so that we have something to share with those who might not know you or will be stuck behind during this 7-year terrible period, Lord, that you pour out your wrath on this earth, Lord. And God, I just thank you again for your goodness. I thank you for your grace, your love, your mercy. None of us deserve heaven. It's all because of you, God. It's all because of you. We know one day we're all going to be with you. That's just how it's going to work out, and that's what we're looking for. So anoint this time that we have, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation 16, 7 bowls of God's final judgment. So last time we looked at the prelude to what we're going to be studying. 7 angels standing. They're ready to pour out God's wrath on this planet. Here in Revelation 16, these bowls are poured out during the reign of the beast, the Antichrist, and they cover a very short period of time. And you know what's really interesting is, as we're about to read these verses, we see a similarity between the judgments here and God's judgments on Egypt brought through Moses. Let's go ahead and read these verses, starting in verse 1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the 7 angels, go and pour out the bowls of wrath of God on earth. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. Can you imagine how horrific that is? Verse 11, they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw 3 unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Can you imagine this horrific time that is going to come on this earth? It's never been this bad before. It will never be this bad again. This is God's final judgment. It's amazing. Now, first of all, why would Jesus tell the church we would be kept from wrath if we're going to experience God's wrath in the Great Tribulation period? Tell me what in the world, what wrath Jesus was talking about, if it wasn't the wrath here. John the Baptist made the point in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Paul wrote in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I'm telling you, we're not going to be here for any part of this 7-year great tribulation. I'm going to keep telling you this and showing you the things that point that we're not going to be here. Secondly, the mark of the beast. It will be given to those who will voluntarily worship the image of the first beast of chapter 13. That's why you see all these things that they're doing today. It's not the mark of the beast. It's not going to happen till in the tribulation period. The world dictator, it's going to be something many will do because they want to, all right? This is God's final judgment on a world that has rejected his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, there's no longer a delay. The time has now come. Christ gives the order, and the seven angels execute the command. You know, I know it's hard for mankind, even Christians, to believe God is going to pour out his wrath on a rebellious and God-hating world and destroy it. But everything you see today is under the judgment of God. The average person believes God is all love and light. They believe he wouldn't discipline or punish anyone. But as we've been studying in the book of Revelation, man, it is an entirely different story. These sores are going to be worse than leprosy or cancer. They're God's judgments revealing physically what man is morally, utterly corrupt. You see, the problem is with man and his ambitions. 2 Timothy 3, verses 8 to 9. It's no secret that man from the very beginning has tried to run things without God. I mean, you see it today. We have friends, family members. I mean, they don't want God in their life. They're trying to do it their own way. This first bowl of wrath compares to the sixth plague in Egypt. It's the same type of sore or boil we see in Exodus chapter 9, verses 8 to 12. In fact, Moses predicted coming judgment on Israel similar to this. Speaking of pointing to the Great Tribulation period, Deuteronomy 28, three times in Deuteronomy 28, and I have the scriptures, verse 15, verse 27, and verse 35. I want you to notice who are receiving these sores. Those who receive the mark of the beast, those who have enjoyed the privileges the mark brought. But you know what? Now it's payday. Every one of them are judged by God. I mean, you would think in all this, man would repent. But as we see here, God's judgment of this terrible sore doesn't cause them to turn to him. The scripture teaches blood is not to be eaten. We have that in Leviticus 17, verses 10 and 11. The difference in this plague is the blood is a token of death as the sea becomes a grave of death. What was the first plague in Egypt? The turning of the waters of the Nile River into blood. Exodus 7, verse 20 to 25. This plague is similar to that of the third trumpet, but more severe. With the third trumpet, remember, one third of the fresh water was affected. Here, all the water supply on earth will be cut off. You know what that means? Total destruction of all life because there's no more water to drink. You see, in God's economy and government, the punishment fits the crime. It's what we call poetic justice. But here, it's with a vengeance. Those who take the sword will perish by this sword. And the shedding of blood leads to the shedding of blood. These are being judged because they made martyrs of God's people, the tribulation saints. And now God is forcing them to drink blood for the righteous blood they have shed. It's radical when you study these things. Remember the saints under the altar were praying for justice to be done? In Revelation chapter 6, verses 9-11, well, now their prayers are answered. These believers were given white robes, just like the church was given when it was raptured, but they didn't receive their crowns of life as the church did because they are tribulation believers. They will receive their crowns of life just before we all go into the millennium to reign with our Lord for 1,000 years as kings and priests. Even the Old Testament mentioned judgment during the great tribulation of the heat of the sun. Isaiah 24:6, Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. Here's what blows me away. In spite of what's going on, instead of turning to God for his mercy, did you guys catch what's going on here? The people continue to blaspheme God's name. It just shows the human heart is so incurably wicked. No amount of punishment will purify it or change it. Nothing will change it. Something interesting. As the sun's wattage is increased, it will actually grow darker instead of lighter. The heat will be greater, but the light will be less. It's similar to the darkness in Egypt during the ninth plague. In Exodus chapter 10. When you get a chance, read Isaiah 60 verse 2 and Joel chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 and verse 31 has to deal with that. The first mention of the Euphrates River is in Genesis chapter 2. We see it spoken of over 20 times in the Bible. It was a border between east and west, about 1,800 miles long. It was wide and deep, which made it nearly impossible for an army to pass over it. You know what's amazing about this? The Euphrates River is almost completely dried up right now. Tell me we are not seeing the stage set for this terrible time period. And if we're witnessing these things happening, I mean, North Korea just shot off 60-some missiles. The United States warships are there by the border of North Korea. Russia going in Ukraine. Russia has been given the green light with Iran and Turkey to go into Syria and Lebanon. Guys, my hair is standing up on my neck just thinking of the time that we are entering into. It's an incredible time. The Euphrates was actually the eastern border of the land God promised to Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 18. When you read Ezekiel chapters 40 to 48, it talks about the millennium. Israel is going to have their original borders that was given to Abraham. The name Armageddon comes from two Hebrew words which speak of the hill of Megiddo. The word Megiddo means place of troops or place of slaughter. It's also called the Plain of Esdraelon and the Valley of Jezreel. When you read in the Old Testament and you see these names, it's speaking of Megiddo. The area is about 14 miles wide and 20 miles long. It forms what Napoleon called the most natural battlefield on the whole earth. When that war takes place, Israel, Iran, Iraq, old Persia, the Arabs, when they come in, they're going to come in from the north through Syria and Lebanon, through this place, Megiddo. This is where the blood and the flesh is going to be to the horse's bridle. I mean, it's amazing what's going to take place there. I stood there on the mountain of Megiddo. I looked down into the valley where Elijah called fire down on the prophets of Baal, where God set fire down from heaven and smoked the offering that Elijah had, licked up the water, everything, took it all up. You see, from a human viewpoint, the armies of the nations are gathering on their own. But John the Apostle makes it clear the military movement is according to God's plan. God is wrapping things up. God is bringing it all to an end. After 2,000 years of the church dispensation, the church age, things are happening. Things are pointing to what we're witnessing today in this generation. The greatest thing this should teach us, number one, we need to obey and trust our Lord. Secondly, we have to be patient with what He's doing in our country and in this world today. Very importantly, number three, we need to remember the church will not be subject to any of God's wrath. God's judgment is being poured out on a God-rejecting world. I've taught this from the very beginning. The church is not here, like some are trying to teach and say. Now we come to the seventh and the last bowl of wrath as God completes the fullness of His wrath on a Christ-rejecting world. Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will deceive and encourage the nations of the world in the marching against Israel, and no one will be able to stop it except Jesus at His second coming when we return with Him. They gathered them together. Who is they? Who is they? The they is most likely God Himself. I mean, I come to that conclusion because even though Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are acting together, they are nevertheless fulfilling what is written in God's word. Psalm 2, verses 4 to 5. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall hold them in derision. Then He shall speak to them in His wrath and distress them in His deep displeasure. Does that sound like something a born-again believer is going to go through? John says, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. Now that's interesting, because the devil is referred to as a prince of the power of the air in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. That could mean this seventh vial might have a special effect on his dominion. We've mentioned the temple many times in the book of Revelation. With the bowls of wrath, the trumpets, the seals, it's mentioned with each series of judgments. Here the temple is mentioned with the bowls of wrath six times, more than with all the other judgments combined. This is the last reference to it. And remember, the Jews are the ones who had the temple, not the church. You and me as born-again believers, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, not the building where we go to gather and worship God and to be taught from Him. The Jews. Romans 9, 10, 11. Paul said the Jewish people would be temporarily set aside. They were for 2,000 years for the age of the church. Well, guess what? the church is in heaven, it's been raptured. Now God is again dealing with his Jewish people. We know there's no temple in the New Jerusalem. We'll get there in a couple of weeks. So the church needs to understand this has no reference to the church. None at all. Israel will go through the Great Tribulation period. And the remnant, all the 144,000, will make it through because they will be faithful unto death. Also, many Gentiles will make it through the Great Tribulation period. You see, God will save people during the days of the Great Tribulation. But of course, the church won't be a part of it. We were taken from the earth at the rapture before the Great Tribulation even began. A loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne. Now, John doesn't identify the voice for us, but we believe it's the voice of Jesus himself. And his message is recorded here. It is done. Does that ring any bells? Tetelestai, it is finished. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, John 19, verse 30, he said, it is finished. Well, in the Greek, it's a word tetelestai. That means it is done. It was then redemption was made. And salvation was accomplished for mankind. There is not one thing any one of us can add to it. We simply receive it by faith. Those who have refused God's salvation, there's nothing they can do to escape God's judgment. It is done. Satan's entire system is being judged by God. Number one, his religious system, the harlot. We're going to see this next week, Revelation 17. Secondly, his political and economic system, Babylon, the week after Revelation 18. Third, his military system, the armies, Revelation chapter 19. The final act of judgment comes in the form of a hailstorm. According to the historian Josephus, The Antiquities of the Jews, I highly recommend that book. Josephus, the Roman catapults threw stones a weight of a talent into Jerusalem in AD 70 when Titus destroyed and burnt down the city of Jerusalem and the temple. Well, the Greek talent was 56 pounds. The Jewish talent was 114 pounds. And a talent of silver weighed 125 pounds. This judgment reminds us of the seventh plague in Egypt in Exodus 9. But just as Pharaoh and the Egyptian leaders did not repent, so these will not repent. In fact, they blaspheme God. They're cursing God for the horrific judgment that is being poured out on them. You see, when we go through times of trials, when we go through times of suffering or even death, we will either turn to God or we will turn away from God. My personal thought on the reason why this judgment is hail, and this is a personal thought. According to Leviticus 24, verse 16, blasphemers were stoned to death. Amazing. I want to finish with Christ's admonition in verse 15. He said, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. For you and I today, for the church, I'm talking the genuine, true, born-again believing church, Jesus can return at any moment. It could be today. And because we see these things happening in this generation that Jesus talked about 2,000 years ago, it should cause us to keep our lives clean. It should cause us to be watching so we're not caught off guard. It should cause us to be faithful. Next time, Revelation 17, the judgment of the great harlot. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things we've been studying and learning so that we can let others know what's going on, so we can leave these things behind for others to find out where they are in this horrific 7-year period, and they can prepare for the things that are about to take place. God, we love you. We thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace that you have poured out on us to save us, to send your only begotten Son to die in our place so that we could spend eternity with you. God, we praise your holy name. Go before us now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.